Just a reminder, John Wesley's mother had a great many children. It is said that she wore an apron all the time, and there were times that she felt that she needed to spend time with God, so she would take the apron and pull it over her head, sit in a chair. That was her time alone with God, and the children understood. When Mama had her apron over her head, you did not bother her. Think about that. Works and works well. From the 16th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, very unusual, wonderful set of scriptures. 16th chapter, beginning with verse 16 and going on through verse 34. This is Luke writing. And he says, one day as we were walking to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners a great deal of money by fortune telling. While she followed Paul and us, she would cry out, "These men are slaves of the Most High God who proclaim to you a way of salvation." She kept doing this for many days, but Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. When they had brought them before the magistrates, they said, "These men are disturbing our city. They are Jews and are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or observe." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. Following his instructions, they put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet to the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was an earthquake, so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw that the prison doors were wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." The jailer called for lights, and rushing up, he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. At the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds, and he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them up into the house and set food before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer in God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Shall we pray? Blessed God, we have heard your word read. Holy Spirit, ignite our hearts, change our lives, set a fire within us, we pray, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, just seeing how well you are keeping up on current events, what's happening on the last Tuesday in June? Last Tuesday in June, anyone know? That's what I thought. It's the moving day for Methodist ministers in the North Carolina Annual Conference. Thank goodness it's them and not me. Boy, I am grateful for that. What is one of the great signs that you can tell that a Methodist minister is about to move? What is a sign that you can look for? Close, but before that. Yeah, that's a pretty subtle sign, isn't it? You see their cars at the ABC store. That's how you know Methodist ministers are about ready to move. It's for the boxes. The boxes. As you know, all Methodist ministers who are going to move on the same day. They move at the same time. The pastor has to be out by noon. The next pastor cannot be in before 1. Most of the time that works very well. It did not work well this time when we moved here Because of their truck breaking down, Brother TR had not moved out yet. They were moving their stuff out as we were moving our stuff in. Their packing people picked up several pieces of our furniture and took them out the back door. And we had to say, nope, that remains here. Just bring that back. So most of the time it is a well-oiled machine. That's why we are called Methodists, because we are so methodical. And I fear for and feel for the pastors who are moving. It is terrifying, friends. Those of you who have lived in Roxboro all your life, those of you who have so many good friends, you don't know how scary it is to come to a new place and to say, this is who I am, and have people say, that is not what we want. It is terrifying. You have to give up all the friendships. Start anew, afresh. It's not always easy for pastors. It's not always easy for congregations. I won't lie. Some pastors have their eye on next church. They see each church as a stepping stone for something larger. But I remember early on in ministry hearing from pastors, bishops who say, grow where you're planted, stop. Imagine that your church where you are is the last church you may serve, because someday it will be. Look for the good in the situation. Look for the burning bush in the moment. Listen for the still small voice of God. No place, no person is perfect. And I'll remind you that about pastors. No pastor is perfect, but if God can speak through a talking donkey, there's hope for most of us. This is one of my favorite scriptures to read and to preach from. It's an odd little story. It's one of the few we passages in the book of Acts where Luke begins to talk. But it's interesting that when Paul and Silas get in trouble with the authorities, they end up in prison, not Luke. Luke goes, I'm just the writer. I'm just throw them in prison. It all happens because Paul and Silas are trying to do what God has called them to do. They are walking through this area in Philippi. They are looking for people of peace, people with a desire to learn more about God in Christ Jesus. That's why they are there. But there is a young lady, a slave girl, who has a spirit of divination. That somehow she has this sense that she knows things about people. So here she is walking up to them saying of Paul and Silas, these men are slaves of the Most High God. They offer to you a way of salvation. Now what she was saying was absolutely true. But it wasn't what she said. It was how often she said it. Imagine waking up early in the morning, getting up, stretching, going outside to see the beautiful day, and outside the door standing a woman who says of you, these men are slaves of the Most High God who offered to you a way of salvation. Imagine eating breakfast with a woman standing beside you saying, these men are slaves of the Most High God offering to you a way of salvation. Imagine going to prayer service, having a woman stand beside you saying, these men are slaves of the Most High God who offered to you a way of salvation. Imagine eating lunch, drinking coffee in the afternoon. Imagine going out to play golf and having this woman stand beside you saying, these men are slaves of the Most High God offering to you a way of salvation. Imagine the last thing you hear when you go to bed at night and the first thing you hear when you wake up in the morning. The scripture says she was doing this for several days. And the Apostle Paul, to put it politely, got greatly annoyed. I can hear Silas saying, Paul, she doesn't know what she's doing. Just calm down. And Paul took all he could take, and he looked at her and cast out that demon. In the name of Jesus, get out of her. And her life was forever changed. He did what was right. But now these men who owned this woman had no way of making money. So they had them arrested. They trumped up some lies about them, had them beaten and put into prison. Paul said, It wasn't that I was doing anything wrong. I did what God called me to do, and because of that, I end up in prison. Have you ever felt that way? Not in prison necessarily, but have you felt cheated and wronged because you did something right and something bad happened because of it? Somehow we have it in our mind. We naively believe that if we have faith in God, life will be simple and easy and right, and everything will go according to Hoyle. And it's not true. Good people suffer. Bad people suffer. Good people die. Bad people die. We are all on this earth together. Mortality rate is hovering right at 100%. All of us face the same things. The question isn't, why am I facing this? The question is, what am I going to do in the midst of this junk? Paul chose to sing. I love the scripture. It says that at midnight, Paul and Silas were sitting there in the innermost cell, shaking their chains and singing hymns. And it says, and the other soldier, individuals in the cells were listening to them as well. What choice did they have? I can imagine the guys are saying, please, Paul, be quiet. But they were singing hymns. They were singing hymns. He says, I am in this situation, but I am going to grow where I'm planted. It may not be where I want to be. It may not be the situation that feeds my spirit, but you know what? God, here is where I am. So the three of us, he says, Silas, Paul, and God, we're going to have a good hymn sing. And of course, we know the rest of the story. There was a great earthquake, and the doors opened up, and the chains fell off, and the jailer who looked in said, ooh, this is bad. And then he drew his sword to kill himself. Why on earth would he draw his sword to kill himself? Any idea? I'm asking the question, you can answer. Why did he draw his sword to kill himself? It was because he knew his superiors were going to do it to him. Because of what he did. It was his responsibility to make sure those doors were closed and those men were behind bars. Do you remember the story of the resurrection when those Roman soldiers were there? The stone was there and there was a seal on it. They put a seal there and that seal is supposed to stay there. And if that seal is broken and that body is removed, those men were going to die. That's why they said they were lying there like dead men. They knew what their future was and it was not good. So this man says, at least if I kill myself, I'll do it quickly. And it was at that point, Paul, who could have licked his wounds and said of this man, you were the one who had us beaten. Go ahead and kill yourself. He said, do not harm yourself. We are all here. And this man ran in with lights and he said, what must I do to be saved? And he brought them home and he fed them and he cleaned up their wounds. All because Paul did what was right and celebrated even when everything around him fell apart. He made a choice to say, I'm going to thank God, not because of what happened, but simply because I know God is with me. Life isn't easy. We all have our stories we could tell. We would be here for 10 days if we told our stories. The question isn't what is going on in my life. The question should be, what am I going to do with what is going on in my life? There's an incredible story of a man told in one of the Gospels, a man who was paralyzed for 38 years. Every day his friends would carry him down to this body of water. It was understood that an angel would come by from time to time and would touch the water and disturb the water And it was said that the first person to touch the water after the water had been disturbed by the angel would be healed of their infirmities. For 38 years, his friends carried him down and set him by the water. But they set him far enough away because he could not walk, that as soon as the water would be disturbed, someone else would step over him and walk in and touch the water and be healed. Jesus walked up to him one day and said, "Do you want to be healed?" That's a simple question. Yes or no, do you want to be healed? His answer was, "Well, sir, every time the water's disturbed, someone steps over me and touches the water before me." He didn't say yes. I have to constantly watch myself and ask myself, are you going to be like that man? Constantly complaining and griping about things that I don't like. It's easy to do. And Lord knows you can find people who sympathize with you. But it's not the healthy thing to do. Interestingly enough, we read the scriptures from the 16th chapter of Acts, and we say, well, Paul was singing those hymns and Silas was singing those hymns because they knew that the doors were going to open up and the chains were going to fall off. They didn't know that. What they were simply saying is, we're going to let the world know that we're free, even if we're behind bars. We're free, even if we're chained up. We're free, even if we have been beaten and arrested. We're free. Paul had a choice. He chose to thank God in the midst of his hardship. Can we do less? It would be wonderful to have a life free of problems. But friends, that doesn't happen. The question is, how do we respond to the situation we are given? Do we grow where we're planted? Shall we pray? God, we give thanks that you give us the grace to stand tall even when everything around us is collapsing. Help us, dear God, to acknowledge that it's only through faith in you and trust in you that our lives can be forever changed. Help us to take the problems we face and help us to stand strong in your love and in your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.